Bonjour. It is my pleasure to tell you about my life and about how my method has been accepted all over the world as a viable system for reading and writing, what I think you call a code or alternative technique to obtain information. I was born in a little country village just outside Paris called Couvray in 1809. My father operated a harness shop, and we had a great vineyard, and we grew our own vegetables. Our home was often occupied by Prussians and Russians and Austrians and even members of our own military during these turbulent times of my youth. And it was not uncommon for these soldiers to enjoy the fruit of my family's labor, especially the Cabernet. Our home might as well have been built a road through our house, the way these troops tramped across our living room day in and day out during these turbulent times of my youth. We tried to make them all happy. We only wanted to survive. When I was three, I would go to my father's harness shop to play. One day I picked up a leather punch and tried to poke a hole in a piece of leather, the way I had seen my father do many times. The point slipped and I jabbed it into my right eye. We lived many miles from the nearest doctor, and by the time my father reached a doctor, the infection had spread to my left eye. I was totally blinded by my own misfortune, and my family was devastated. My father wanted me to have only the best. He tried to teach me many things. He taught me the print alphabet when he formed the letters using sticks, and I would feel around the edges of the letters, meticulously memorizing each pattern. I had a good memory. Some people said my memory was excellent, and so I attended school with my brothers. My brother is a kind of special student. My brother's leading me to the classroom where Father Palouis taught. By using my powers of concentration and my memory, I was able to keep up with my sighted peers, even though I had no way to write. The blind had no way to write any kind of note of any kind during that time. Father Palouis was duly impressed. He contacted a local marquis, and he wrote a letter of recommendation to the officials at the Royal Institute for Blind Youth, and I became the youngest student at the school. My father was very poor. Only the rich and most influential citizens of France sent their students to the school. It was God's will. I am convinced of that. Through life's perspective, I could see God's love and mercy working out the details for me. God has truly blessed me, even in the darkest of times. The students there called me Babyface. Of course, my face is not so babyish anymore. The wrinkles of time have taken their toll on my sweet countenance. But I have always remained cheerful and optimistic all of my entire life. I met many famous blind people at the school. Maria Teresa von Paradis, a world-renowned piano virtuoso, came to visit our school, and she encouraged me to work hard on my music. Maria Teresa von Paradis was probably the most famous blind person in all of Europe at that time. Valentin Huy, the man who founded our wonderful school, was still alive then too. He had devised a raised print alphabet, and I was readily able to read the precious few books in the library, even though it was cumbersome. We still had no way to write. I suppose our powers of concentration improved. I know one thing, my memory certainly improved during that time. In 1821, possibly the happiest time of my life, a military man came to visit our school. His name was Charles Barbier, and he had devised a method to write using a combination of dots and dashes that he called night writing or sonography. Using the sounds in the French language, He had devised a method so that he could write down orders for his troops at night without lighting a torch. He thought this might be helpful to the blind, and he was so right. Dr. Pinier, the superintendent of our school, gave me the system and told me to experiment with it. Like the raised print method, it was cumbersome, and so I took his initial idea and I devised a six-dot cell and I eliminated the dashes. And then I devised a print alphabet and numbers and did away with the phonetics. I used a leather punch, what you call a stylus, and a wooden stencil to write life's ironies. The very tool that put out my eyes when I was 3 years old is the very instrument that we used to write for the first time in the history of the blind. The little stylus darkened my world, but it has brought illumination to the world's blind. How very strange life is sometimes. As the years passed, I began to develop a manual with the help of Dr. Pinier, and I began to teach some of the students at the school. Then my method became an alternate class at the Royal Institute for Blind Youth, and I began to teach many of the students. I also turned my method to music and devised patterns so that I could write down the musical notes. Music was my passion. I could now play the great masters by reading and did not have to rely on the long and tedious hours of memorization. And I became good enough with the organ that I began to perform in Paris. I have found my greatest freedom on the wings of a musical note. When an organ is played in a huge cathedral, God's eternal love is poured out upon the congregation. I was onto something big, something greater than I ever imagined. Another irony, I suppose. I only wanted to read and write. With every fiber of my being, I desired knowledge and wisdom. And so I poured my heart and soul into the perfection of my method. Funny, the students that I taught my method recognized immediately how very vital it was. But the sighted professionals, with the exception of Dr. Pinier and a couple of others, eschewed my system. They rejected it outright. My method was like a breath of fresh air blowing across an old and dank method of raised print. But, like most innovations, it took many years before it was accepted as superior. The sighted professionals thought that sight was everything, and they seemed intimidated and threatened by my raised dot method. I had become an apprentice teacher at the Royal Institute for Blind Youth, teaching music and my method. Some of the teachers there thought that sight was everything, and nothing using the fingertips could be as good. Besides, Valentin Hui, the founder of our school, had invented the raised print method that we used, and tradition is a very difficult thing to overcome. And we were such a small group, my blind students and I, crying in the wilderness. And then something truly tragic happened. My students were beating upon the wall of tradition and ignorance when a monolith of stubborn pride almost destroyed our incessant knocking. Dr. Pinier was discharged, and Mr. Dufault was hired to take his place. I lost my greatest friend and my strongest advocate for my method, and now we had Dufault. Woe was us. Hippolyte Colta and André Gautier, two of my closest blind friends, were hired as apprentice teachers at the school. Mr. Dufault and members of the new regime forbade my students from using my method. We were to use only the raised print method. From the time that Mr. Dufault replaced Dr. Pinier, I could discern his petty jealousy of my students' devotion to my method, and it made him become like a dictator. He beat the children and took away their styluses. My health became another factor. I had contracted tuberculosis by this time, and the musty and dank environs of the so-called National Institute for Blind Youth that had relocated near a river exacerbated my lung maladies. don't worry. I am not contagious. By this time, I had begun to transcribe books in my method for my children. I used a reader in my little room like a makeshift publishing house, and my students seemed to love the books that I transcribed for them. But when I went away to Couvray to recuperate and have some fresh air, Mr. Dufault confiscated all the books I had transcribed for the children and burned them in their presence in the courtyard. My heart was broken into 1,000 pieces when I returned to work and discovered this egregious act on Dufault's part. God provided. My students became even more defiant and determined. They would never knuckle under to the abuses of them by Dufault for using my method. Finally, a sighted teacher, Joseph Guadet, interceded for us. He used his considerable powers of persuasion to convince Dufault that my method was superior and that he might be discharged for his cruelty to the children. Furthermore, he convinced Dufault that our children truly benefited from using my method because they could both read and write. Joseph Guadet convinced him that our school could be the vanguard of education for blind children throughout Europe if we would adopt the method. Joseph Guadet also convinced Mr. Dufault that we should present my method in a public demonstration. It was amazing that Dr. Dufault agreed. A demonstration was held. A student transcribed a passage of poetry, and another student was led from off stage and read the poetry to the rich and influential men and women of Paris. Suddenly, a man came from the audience and pronounced our demonstration a fraud. He said that no blind child could read dot patterns so efficiently. By this time, I was very weak and sick from consumption, but God gave me the strength to stand and defend my students and my method. I invited the doubting gentleman to come to the stage, and he came up and read a theater ticket from his own pocket as a student transcribed it. Then we led another student from off stage, and he read the ticket information. It was like a miracle. God had intervened for us. The doubting gentleman pledged his support to the school, and he encouraged all the other men and women there to do the same. Their applause was like 1,000 smiles to me. God's love and mercy had intervened for my children and for my method. It has not been my privilege to have many of the blessings that my sighted friends have. I have never had anyone to love. I have never raised children of my own. I did not attend a university the way many of my sighted peers have. But God gave me the talent to play my music. And He gave me a purpose, a raison d'être, and the opportunity to use my passion for knowledge to devise a method that can be used by the blind the world over to reach beyond the mundane and to attain their greatest potential. What truly grieves me today is to observe that age-old battle is still being waged. Most of the blind do not know my method. Their dreams are still being dashed on the rocks of goodwill and blighted hope. They are the ones that must gnaw on the crumbs of tradition and the stubborn will of many teachers to reject my method and to still teach the methods that do not work as well. But the blind still know what is best for them. Blind adults know from bitter experience what they should have been taught as children. Blind children and their sighted parents must still walk the path of tradition, stumbling over magnifiers and large print books until it is almost too late for them to learn the method that they could utilize to become their greatest potential. Only 10% of America's blind use Braille. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Rochambeau. We have waited long enough. If they will not teach our children to read and write, we will do it ourselves. Patience might be a virtue, but literacy is the key that will open the mind. We want everyone to help us, but if no one wants to help, we can do it for ourselves. God will lead us in a path we did not know. In His love and mercy, He wants every blind child and adult to have full citizenship and the right to learn and to gain knowledge. Join with us in the universities and in the classrooms and in the libraries, and we can make it come true. We can lead the blind to the summit that we did not know. It will be our most precious gift that we can give to our blind children for the next generation. What else is life for but to make it better for the next generation? With our last breath, we should be working to make this come true. Merci et au revoir, mes amis.